Wednesday, September 9th, time for the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Here we go.
Jumping right in.
Yeah, I hate rookie pitchers. Hate them.
Hate is a strong word.
Well, I mean it. I was really mad last night. Really mad.
You know, why were you mad?
Because of Taylor Youngman and Raisel Iglesias.
Youngman.
They just sunk me. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Adam, there's no need to feel down.
I was watching that Youngman start, and I thought about, like, hopping on Twitter and being like, oh, Adam was wrong about Taylor Youngman, but I picked Raisel Iglesias on FanDuel, so.
It would have been a bad night for that. I was really pretty angry. That was bad, and we're going to talk about rookie pitcher, because some of them were good. Aaron Nola was really good. Carlos Rodon was really good. And Youngman's got some interesting splits we should talk about. That's coming up a little bit later. What stood out to you guys last night?
Well,
tough question.
I'll jump
tough
in.
Question.
Go ahead, jump in, Chris.
I'm
terrible at that game.
It's very it's weird to say someone's had a quiet 41 homer season, but I can't believe Chris Davis has 41 home runs. I just feel like that snuck up on me.
Well, it kind of did, because 22 of them have come in the second half.
Yeah,
22 since the All-Star break.
Yep.
Wow.
Chris Davis, back and better than ever.
Where are you taking him next year? Back to second round in Roto?
I mean, what do you do with this? Here's his season OPS. 827, 1004, 704, 897. What do you do with that? You just assume that he's going to hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
And then everything else is gravy? Is that just anything above? If he gives you your 30 home runs and your 90 RBI, and you just pencil that in, because he gave you 26 homers in 127 games last year. I guess you just, anything else, but where do you value that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a wide range of outcomes with him, just because obviously the power potential is enormous, but the plate discipline is horrendous. So, it can lead to a wide range of outcomes. I feel like I've been stuck on first base for a couple weeks now, but first base was the last position I ranked for next year. I had him 11th. Behind, like, the Prince Fielders, Albert Pujols's, Adrian Gonzalez's, the guys you trust for that top production every year. But then ahead of guys like Freddie Freeman, Eric Hosmer, Mark Teixeira, who have even bigger question marks than Davis, probably. With the exception of Freeman, but I'm just not sure the upside's that high with him.
You know, another home run total, what is that called? Home run total that snuck up on me last night, and this has been... Maybe because it's been so recent.
Did you say home run turtle?
Yeah. A home run turtle who very, very slowly snuck up on me. It scared the bejesus out of me. Nolan Arenado has 37 home runs.
Well, he's got like 9 in the last 10 games or something, right?
Yeah, now it's getting absurd. I'll double check exactly what it is, but he homered in 6 straight games at one point.
7 of 9.
7 of 9. How about that? That's, now 37 homers for Arenado.
Yep.
And still not even close.
Next year.
Not even close to Josh Donaldson good yet this year. In terms of fantasy production.
Also a first rounder next year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Great year for Arenado, and this one was on the road. I'm going to say, let's say 37 home runs. I will guess 17 on the road.
19 on the road.
Wow, more than at home, huh?
Yeah, in fewer plate appearances. 25 fewer plate appearances.
That's quite a breakout year. I know he was a breakout candidate for a lot of people, but this is one heck of a year.
It is. You want an observation from last night, Adam?
I do. That was like Celebrity Jeopardy. I was like, name something. And you were like, yeah, what do you got?
Texas with a dollar sign.
How's this for some second half stats? A shortstop in 190 at-bats. Has 7 home runs and 7 stolen bases.
190 at bats, 7 home runs, 7 stolen bases.
Yeah, in the second half, he is the number 2 shortstop in points leagues during that stretch. He went 2-for-4 yesterday.
Jung Ho Gong.
No.
Ah. Oh.
Who is a Eugenio Suarez?
No.
Francisco Lindor?
Francisco Lindor is interesting because he's number one since the All-Star break in points leagues, but this guy's right behind him. And he's owned in only 64% of CBSSports.com leagues.
Everett Cabrera.
Or no, sorry, Asdrubal Cabrera.
No.
Wow. Oh, Alexi Ramirez.
There you go. Yeah. Alexi Ramirez.
Right, no, I picked him up in a couple leagues over the weekend. One of the good things I did lately. The rest have been just junk because of the rookie pitchers. But more on that later. Anyway, Alexi Ramirez is he's making up for lost time.
Yeah. Another shortstop emerging at the time of year where you need the most. Maybe if you lost Brandon Crawford, because he's banged up again.
The shortstop position is not as shallow right now as it was even 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, it's not. And did you guys mention this yesterday? Manny Machado is eligible there now in standard CBSSports.com leagues. So
is he now the number one shortstop this year?
I would assume so. Yeah. I can't imagine it's even close. Let me...
Yeah. Figure that one out.
Yeah.
Sherlock?
Hang on. Yes. Yes. He is the number one shortstop by 113 points over Xander Bogaerts.
So it's close, you know.
Xander Bogaerts.
Neck and neck.
Xander Bogaerts basically until yesterday or 2 days ago was the number one shortstop in fantasy for the season in points. I can't imagine that's the case in Roto. I'll look that up.
Probably not, though. I would imagine batting average.
Tulo's limited plate discipline has hurt him in that regard this season.
He is third.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine he's far off.
And the jumble between two and like six or seven at the position, I mean, they could.
That's only because Carlos Correa hasn't played all year.
That's true.
Your top shortstops in rotisserie. Or categories: Manny Machado, Troy Tulowitzki, Xander Bogaerts, Brandon Crawford, Jose Reyes.
Bogaerts is third.
Yeah, very impressive. With five home runs. Mm-hmm. He's third with five home runs? That's wild. All right, anyway, let's get to some stuff from yesterday. Some news and notes for you. Nate Eovaldi can drop him. Unlikely to start again during the regular season. Glenn Perkins seeking a second opinion on his back, so Kevin Jepsen... if you're struggling a closer, it's a good option, right?
It's a fine option, yeah.
Victor Martinez has missed two games with an illness. Adam Jones, shoulder, he was out yesterday. Nolan Reimold led off for the Orioles. Dustin Pedroia is back. What are your expectations for Pedroia over the last month?
I think he'll pick up where he left off. Basically a must-start second baseman, though not especially high-end, but still somebody in a 12-team league should probably be starting him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I didn't know you were down there. Ryan Zimmerman sat with a sore oblique.
Ugh.
Ryan Zimmerman.
Terrible timing.
Yes, giveth and might be taking away now. Taketh thing away. Joe Ross is in the bullpen. His rotation spot was taketh away too. Tanner Roark is going to replace him. Drop Matt Harvey at this point?
I don't know that I'd go there. I mean, one start left, right? Probably want to take advantage of it, even though this last one, or actually the last two, weren't so great.
But we don't know that it's going to be one start, do we?
I think I can't remember what exactly I saw this year, but that's the thinking, that one more regular season start. We don't know when exactly it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're just blowing away the Nationals now, so I thought maybe after last night winning another game, they might just be able to rest him for the playoffs. He's at like 171 innings now.
The plan seems to change every day.
It does,
so.
Yeah. Let's get Scott Boras on the phone, find out what's going to happen. Marcus Stroman will start Saturday at the Yankees. Start or sit?
Surprising. I would sit him.
But I'd own him.
James Paxton could start.
This is a good one. You'd probably start him thereafter.
Yeah, and James Paxton could start Sunday for Seattle at home against Colorado. Start or sit?
Not excited about that. He was kind of meh, even before the injury.
Brett Gardner, looks like you can explain his second half slump. He has been banged up. He said an ankle, shoulder yesterday was why he missed the game. He said there's some other things that doesn't even want to talk about. So Brett Gardner, he works hard, he plays hard, and he gets hurt a lot. Brandon Crawford left last night's game with calf tightness and side tightness. One bad combo, two bad things.
Yeah, may not be able to trust in him again this year.
And Francisco Lindor has an illness. And Crawford is going to be a guy that's interesting next year, I think. Because a lot of people might forget. I'm sure I will forget by February that Crawford was hurt at the end of 2015. You're just going to see the numbers. You're not going to trust it. You know, how much are you going to trust Crawford next year?
Yeah, you're right. He'll probably be a top 10 shortstop, but the way that usually goes is, you know, shortstops 5 through 10 or whatever are drafted in round 15 and beyond. So he'll probably fall into that category. I think one thing that's easy to overlook with Crawford, because this is the first year he's fantasy relevant, is that he's kind of old for a shortstop. He's going to be 29 next year. He's been around a while and got off and had a late start to his career. So,
and I just had trouble trusting it to begin with.
Right. There's that too. Though he never really let up over the course of this year.
It just, the power was so out of the norm, and he plays in a bad hitter's park. And so that was the biggest thing for me. It was just so hard to believe that all of a sudden this 28-year-old who had one double-digit home run season in his entire life was all of a sudden a 20 to 25 homer guy, which is the pace that he was on.
Yeah. All right. Rookie starting pitchers.
Oof. You sound so depressed.
You know, it was almost like this was my week to catch you, Scott, in the Memorial Roto League. If I had any chance, because it's all about whip for me. Like, my whip is just horrible. My pitching's terrible in that league, and I'm in second place. I had a lot of two-star pitchers, and three of them were Lance Lynn, Raisel Iglesias, and Taylor Youngman. Mm. And it's like, look, you can make all the statements you want. Oh, you can't trust Youngman and Iglesias. You got to invest more in pitching. But okay, well, I can't trust Lance Lynn. Like, it happens to everybody. Michael Wacha was terrible yesterday. So I don't know. Just, I'm very frustrated. I pretty much was eliminated last night in that league. And then the other Roto League, I fell from first to second behind Heath because of Youngman and Iglesias. So it's just like, I think I have them in that. I have one at least. So I'm just really annoyed. This is genuine fantasy frustration right now. Mm-hmm. I'm really into it. I want to win. And last night was a real, just a punch in the gut. Just, ugh.
Well, I get what you're saying, that every pitcher is going to have bad starts. Lance Lynn, Michael Wacha, the examples you used. But I do think there's reason to be wary of young pitchers in particular this time of year. And that's because they're entering uncharted territory with the innings. Youngman has now achieved a career high in innings pitched. I do think it just happened last night. So, you know, usually when they're building up a young pitcher's innings, they're going to let him go, you know, 20 or 30 beyond his previous high. So I don't think Youngman's at risk of being shut down. But still, when he's thrown more innings than ever before, it a lot of times does have an impact on performance. And Raisel Iglesias, they've been talking about him start by start. There's a chance they could actually shut him down, though it didn't sound like Brian Price was thinking that way. After yesterday's start, he just thought it was a bad start for a guy who's been really good lately.
Yeah.
But one pitcher who isn't a rookie, so we may not really think of him the same way as these others, is Taijuan Walker.
He's not a rookie?
No, he's not.
Oh, well, then I put him in the wrong
section. Yeah, he was.
I put him in the wrong section.
He only had 38 innings last year. Isn't 40
50 is, but I thought, hang on, let me double check this.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Walker,
he had 53 career innings coming up this year, so he was just short. He just missed the rookie cutoff.
He's the most owned of all the guys that I was planning on talking about tonight, and I don't own him, but it's hard to trust him. Yeah, what were you going to say, Scott?
Flashes of absolute brilliance, peppered with just really, really meh runs, and he's kind of a guy that only has, when he's going well, he's really only a two-pitch pitcher. And he, for a long time, he abandoned his curveball / slider, and was really just relying on his fastball and splitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think he's actually got reverse splits on the season as well. he's having a weird year.
But lately, especially for him, this kind of goes back to my point about the innings. You know, a lot of those guys are just now reaching their career highs. He's already 21 innings over his previous high. So he's like, he's on the verge of getting shut down potentially with that kind of workload. And you go back his last five starts, 5.20 ERA, 27 and two-thirds innings during that time. So those struggles started about the time he got to that career high in innings, and they've just continued as he's built up that total.
So I'll go through the names, and you guys tell me if you trust them. First, the good from yesterday, Carlos Rodon. Last six starts, 1.76 ERA with 15 walks and 41 innings, but also 41 strikeouts. And a whip right around 1, 27 hits. Carlos Rodon, you guys trust him?
I would not be afraid to start him if I thought, given the matchups, he was one of my five, or in Roto League, six best choice. So yeah, I guess I do trust him.
How about Aaron Nola? You look at his last four starts, three very good, and then one bad one at the Mets. The good ones were at Miami, home against San Diego, and home against Atlanta. Maybe he's a matchup guy. Nola gets the Cubs at home this weekend. What do you think about Nola?
I wouldn't trust him against the Cubs, but I think you can trust him generally.
I think so, too. Remember, the bad start was influenced by that Dominic Brown concussion play where it turned into an inside-the-park home run, so it wasn't nearly as bad as the line looked.
Ryan Weber, just to throw his name out there, for the Braves.
No.
I didn't know who he was until very recently. So,
yep, yeah.
He did what he did in this start. What he was doing in the minors, though, good control, but no swing and miss ability whatsoever.
All right, how about the bad Taylor Youngman?
Mm-mm.
He will get Pittsburgh on the road this weekend, and then Cincinnati next week. And the split that I didn't see going into the week, I don't think it would have influenced me, and it probably wasn't as pronounced until last night when he gave up six runs in 3 2/3 at Miami. At home, Youngman has a 1.50 ERA. On the road, he has a 4.13 ERA. That must have been in the threes before last night.
Well, he's given up 11 runs in his last two road starts. He's only given up 32 runs total.
Well, it's got to be the last three road starts have been bad.
One
of them was like a two-inning, 2 2/3 inning start or something.
Two earned runs in two and two-thirds, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the last three have been bad. He's got another road start this weekend at Pittsburgh, comes home next week to face Cincinnati. I don't know what to make of the home road splits. It's not that big of a sample, but it's
I wouldn't
something.
Make too much of it.
All right, well, do you trust him going forward? I mean, if you're in a daily league, do you start him this weekend at Pittsburgh? Young man.
I probably don't.
Yeah. The shine's starting to come off a little bit lately. Two very good starts over his last four, but the other
even
two
even those
bad,
the strikeouts were
the
down.
The strikeouts are way down, and that's the big thing. Cause he, it's been such an interesting season for him because he's pitching. Even the strikeout rate in the majors has been unexpected, I think. And that's so now that the strikeout rate's starting to come down, there's definitely, I think, room for concern.
All right, Raisel Iglesias, St. Louis this weekend.
I wouldn't trust him in that matchup if we're talking a daily league scenario. But if he bounces back with a start much like the three prior to this one, I do think I go back to trusting him.
Yeah, I feel pretty. I mean, the matchup's not great, but I feel pretty confident in his abilities at this point in the season.
Taiwan Walker, Colorado this weekend. Unless they're on a six-man rotation, I don't know that they are. But Paxton's coming back, so they might push. Yeah, you know what? I would think if Paxton pitches Sunday, that would push Walker to a two-start next week. But if he's lined up to face Colorado this week. Walker, start or sit.
You can't trust him. You have to sit him.
And then Andrew Heaney had been pitching pretty well, but he did not pitch well last night. Six hits, five runs, three walks, six strikeouts, and five innings against the Dodgers. And two starts next week for Heaney at Seattle, at Minnesota.
He's kind of in Youngman territory as far as innings go. And we're starting to see a little less consistency, which may be related. So I'm not... You know, I tend to default to the weekly lineup, and I would say, I would only trust him in a two-start week at this point. But if it's a daily scenario, and who'd you say the matchup was, Minnesota?
At Seattle and at Minnesota next week.
Oh, next week.
Yeah, two starts.
Yeah, I'll probably... that'll probably be it for him, for me with him this year, that two-start week. But I'd probably go ahead and take the chance on it.
He got off to such a good start, but when you look at his overall numbers, 3.52 ERA, we think of him as a top prospect, but he was a top prospect more because he was safe than that he was necessarily an ace in the making. So I think he's a mid-3s ERA guy, and I think it's important to remember that.
All right, that's Andrew Heaney. Let's move on and talk about some hitters now. Are these guys under-owned? They might be available in your leagues, in a league coming near you. Will Myers, 57% owned. He led off, he homered yesterday. It was his fifth game off the DL. When Myers was healthy, first 5 weeks of the season, he averaged 22.6 fantasy points per week. That's really good. He scores a lot of runs.
He was strangely productive. You looked at the underlying numbers, and even the traditional numbers like batting average, they didn't really make you think he should be as high in the rankings as he was. But that is something to keep in mind. I haven't been motivated to pick him up. I think guys like Jason Wirth, who's highly available, he's been more impressive to me lately and for longer. But maybe a good week for Myers, and he's somebody you look into the last couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, maybe more of a points guy, because for his value was doubles. He was on a 40 double pace, something like that. Probably more than that, actually. Yeah, 45 doubles.
That maybe that had a lot to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, and about a 16-17 steal pace. So I don't know if he's great in categories, but does score a lot of runs. Odubel Herrera, 2-for-3 with a home run yesterday. He's 49% owned. He's batting .302. Do you think Odubel Herrera is under-owned?
I don't. I think that's right.
Gene Segura, top 12 shortstop over the last 28 days. He's 59% owned.
I think that's about right, too. The guy is on pace for like 20 extra base hits this season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He is.
Remember that,
and he's not a big enough
base
dealer.
Remember that one first half he had, though?
He had probably more than that in the first that first half, yeah.
So in the last 28 days, Segura's batting .320 with one walk and 17 strikeouts and five doubles. Travis Shaw, he's back. He was 6-for-51, and now he's homered in two straight games. And he's 26% owned. Travis Shaw. Third base eligible,
usable.
Right? Third base eligible?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Third base eligible. I said it pretty fast.
He is third base eligible, yes. Yes.
But I don't think that helps him too much. 26% sounds right. That's deeper mixed leagues and AL only.
Joey Gallo, 44% owned, homered last night.
Yeah, I think that's too high. I'd prefer Shaw, actually. Gallo has started three of the last six games, and I think two of the ones he sat were left-hander. So it's possible he could become the better half of a platoon there in left field for the Rangers, but it's still not enough bats, and it's not. I'm not confident he's going to perform that well with them.
Seven strikeouts in 11 at-bats since coming back from the minors.
Would you rather have Mark Canna, 26% owned, or Travis Shaw, or Joey Gallo? We think Mark Canna, he is tearing it up.
Canna keep it up?
Number three first baseman.
I'd rather have Canna than either one. Right
Number
now.
Three first baseman over the last 28 days. Chris says Canna.
Canna over who?
Shaw or Gallo.
Yeah, Shaw's my favorite of the three. I don't trust Canna. I mean, he's been hot, but the plate discipline's been awful, even during the hot streak. So I think it's going to catch up to him pretty soon.
So you're saying Canta?
Yeah.
I don't see him as mixed league material, no.
And how about Corey Seager?
Canta see him as mixed
league. I hear you.
Yeah. I don't get it, Chris. I totally, over my head. Corey Seager. Could you Seager him being owned in more leagues?
I'm Seager to pick him up.
Oh, yes, my you gosh. Are. Al's not even here.
66% owned Corey Seager. Two errors yesterday.
He's
but
the core real deal.
Oh, wow. That's a reach.
You're a reach.
you know what? He started every game but one since he's come up. So I think it's time to add him.
It's interesting, though, because first he started because Justin Turner was hurt, and then Jimmy Rollins got hurt. Not to say that he wouldn't have started, but it's almost been like kind of convenient for him to start.
Well, he also gives them an opportunity to give guys extra time off. So I think that's valuable. His ability to play multiple positions is going to get him in the lineup. And the fact that they've been so willing to use him, because it's not like this is a team that has a dearth of options. Even if they didn't want to play Seager, they have other guys that they could play all around the infield.
All right,
so the fact that they're prioritizing him, even with Rollins and Turner out, I think helps.
Well, call me surprised about this next one. Let's go to three up, two down, and our rotation for today, a four-man rotation. Well, Scott, you said you wouldn't be surprised if Alex Rodriguez started homering a lot, had a big month. I said I wouldn't be surprised. Last five games, he has six hits. Four of them are home runs. And coincides. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have stopped there. It all coincides with him getting a three-day break. Actually, I think it was a four-day break. I think they had a day off and then three games in a National League Park. And maybe that refreshed him. It seems to be happening this year with him.
Did you think he was just getting tired because he was old?
Yeah,
I
did. In August, Rodriguez hit 153 with two home runs.
He was staying up too late. He was eating dinner too late. He just couldn't keep it up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. You know, I think he missed Derek Jeter, and it just had kind of worn on him throughout the year. Emotionally hurting Alex Rodriguez.
Mm, yeah, sounds accurate.
It's like, I want to write for the Players Tribune.
He's no Matt Harvey.
Anyway, take a bow, Scott White.
Oh, thank you. It's not me, though. It's Alex Rodriguez.
I guess so. 30 home runs.
I benched him instead of Beltre this week in the podcast league, and I'm losing, so.
Cole Calhoun. All right, so this is something that I meant to look up and didn't. I will do it now, but he has been on some stretch here for like half the year, Cole Calhoun. He's been really good. And what do you guys think of him?
13 homers since the All-Star break is really good. Mm-hmm. But he had 10 before, so it's not like he was a scrub.
He wasn't that good, though.
It does seem like he has more power than I thought he would have. I thought he could have. I'm still kind of underwhelmed by the overall package because it seems like it's kind of one note as far as that goes. And if it is an aberration, you're left with what to me seems like kind of a fourth outfielder type in mixed leagues.
Well, how about this with Calhoun? Last year, his slash line, everybody listening,
yep.
269 batting average, 325 on base, 446 slugging.
That's this year.
Oh, that's this year. I'm sorry. Okay, 269, 325, 446. Why did I get that confused? Because last year it was 272, 325, same exact on base, 450 slugging. Almost exactly the same. So maybe it's just who he is.
He's had a 10 fewer doubles this season, six more home runs. So you figure a couple of wall scrapers cleared. Maybe he's a 20-homer guy.
All right, Cole Calhoun then. Joe Panik, 73% owned. Is Joe Panik under-owned? I'm guessing he was dropped with his lengthy DL stint. But this guy's batting .318 on the year. He homered and doubled yesterday. Joe Panik, yeah. 73% owned.
He was a must-start before he got hurt. So I kind of what I said about Pedroia earlier applies to Panik, too. In fact, I think I have a higher level of trust in Panik at this stage of the game.
Let's go to two down. Earlier in the year, Heath Cummings said, if you draft Salvador Perez, you should trade him because he's going to struggle in the second half. And Perez, since the All-Star break, .230 batting average, .267 on base, .355 slugging, four home runs in 41 games. And OPS is over 100 points lower, right around 100 points, but just slightly over than it was in the first half before the All-Star break. I looked up where he ranks in plate appearances among catchers. I think he's got the most... I would have to say he has the most innings caught this year. Like, he's fifth in plate appearances. Oh, maybe Molina.
Mm-hmm.
He's fifth.
Probably Molina, but he's probably second.
He's fifth in
all
plate
the other
appearance.
Guys play
yeah.
first.
Right, right. So Perez is fifth in plate appearances among catchers behind Posey, Molina, Derek Norris, who has 45 plate appearances at first base or DH, and Stephen Vogt, 83 plate appearances at first base. So I think Molina is probably the only guy ahead of Salvador Perez. And it's, I guess, fairly predictable at this point. Is he wearing down? Does that narrative make sense to you?
I mean, yeah. Ned Yost rode him pretty hard in the first half again. It's worth noting that he has cut back in the second half. Perez is playing roughly every fourth, or sitting roughly every fourth or fifth game. But it might be too little too late. It seems to be a recurring narrative.
All right, then. And Melky?
622 in the OPS in the second half this season. It's not that big of a gap for his career, but the last two seasons have been extreme.
Melky Cabrera, 88% owned. Are we done with Melky Cabrera?
Well, done is such a...
this year.
Strong word. No, I'm not done with him. Not in a points league.
Okay.
I think the peripherals are good enough that, hey, could just flip a switch like A-Rod did and be back to the guy he was most of August.
And in our rotation today, we have four gentlemen who pitched yesterday. Some good, some bad. Masahiro Tanaka, 8 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts against an Adam Jones-less Baltimore Orioles lineup. 10 out of his last 12 outings have been quality starts, but some of them have been, you know, just barely quality starts.
Yeah. He has a 101 whip on the year.
He's tricky, though. He's really tricky.
Too many home runs.
Mm-hmm.
The one run he allowed was a home run. That's 4 straight games with a home run. And I don't know, like, if that's just the kind of pitcher he is now, or if he's had, it sounds like a weird thing to say, but just bad luck with home runs, because it doesn't take a big, like, home runs are one of those things where just a few can make a drastic difference on your rate and make everything look terrible. So, you know, just facing the wrong hitters at the wrong time, maybe it skewed all the results, because otherwise he did allow ace caliber.
He did allow more home runs than you would expect last season. 14% home run to fly ball rate, 17% this year. That just might be who he is to a certain extent. He might be a guy that, for the most part, underperforms his
ERA.
Peripherals a bit. But he's still very good. I don't think he'll be as good as he was last year.
He's definitely not as good as he once was. It's just
it
obvious.
Is interesting. I looked it up the other day. He's throwing harder this year. His average fastball velocity is actually slightly up.
All right, do me a favor, though. If you could look it up, how many times does he throw it? Because I feel like he's kind of a junk baller now. And then every now and then, Tanaka will throw a fastball by somebody. But like that 93, 94 mile per hour fastball, he flashes it at times. I don't think he can do it as consistently. And he throws a lot of off-speed pitches. And he always was a guy who had a huge arsenal. But
yeah, his fastball usage dropped. He used it a quarter of a time last year. He's using it a fifth of the time this year. He's throwing his a cutter more often. He's mixing in. That's actually the biggest difference. He's throwing a cutter 9% of the times this year.
Cutters can yield a lot of home runs.
He's less of a power pitcher than he used to be. That's the point I would make.
Yeah. So maybe we just crack the case. Maybe stop throwing the cutter. But maybe he has to throw
I think
the
he
cutter
does.
Because his elbow's not 100%. goes back to that.
Carlos Carrasco and Michael Wacha, both on long layoffs, were really bad. Any concerns there?
Carrasco looked really good in terms of velocity and everything else. This was a return from a shoulder soreness.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like he's over the injury, so that's the most important thing. Russ probably contributed to this outing. I feel good about him going forward.
And just he's a guy that sometimes has outings like this, you know?
Yeah.
And Wacha?
Eh. It happens.
And Liriano, Francisco Liriano, with a gem. 10 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 walk, no runs in 6 innings at the Reds.
Finally got his control under control.
Yeah, that's first start with less than 3 walks in 6 starts. He had a 4.97 ERA in his previous 7 starts. So Liriano, are you comfortable with him right now?
I guess so. I mean, I didn't really think he was never going to come out of it. Once started, it's hard to say I trust in him completely again, but he is pretty high end, just generally speaking, so I think you kind of have to start him.
Cool. And R.A. Dickey, how about the year he's having as we look at a couple of fringy starting pitchers? I don't know if Dickey should be fringy anymore. Nice start at Boston. Strikes out nobody, typically, but what do you think about R.A. Dickey?
Last 12 starts for R.A. Dickey. 267 ERA, 104 whip. Strikeout rate's low, but you don't expect that from him. Only 1.8 walks per nine and 0.7 home runs per nine, and that is the biggest change from earlier in the season. And the two stats that can really go bad for a knuckleballer are the walk rate and the home run rate. So it seems like he has gotten things under control. I still think there's a lot of implosion potential for him. And we've seen in some more recent start, I think there have been a couple 5-run outings during that 12-start stretch more recently here. And that kind of keeps me from buying into him fully. But I think in a points league, if you're just at a loss for who to start, it's a guy who normally pitches a lot of innings, obviously has a great offense backing him, and has been good enough long enough that you could feel pretty comfortable starting him.
Kevin Gausman with a nice start against the Yankees on the road. He will have two starts next week. Boston at home, Tampa Bay on the road. Kevin Gausman, he is 48% owned. Go with him.
Rays hit him hard last time they played, which was on the 2nd of September. But I think I trust him at this point in a two-star week.
Yeah, it works for me. And I didn't have much from the bullpen, just that Bruce Rondon blew a save yesterday. It hasn't been all that good. You got your eye on that situation? Maybe Wilson could get that job back, the one that had for like a day?
I don't think so. I think they really want to evaluate Rondon's long-term potential in the role. Guy throws 100 miles per hour. So I don't think he's... If you're looking to help ERA and WHIP, you may not really care as much about the saves from him. But I don't think he's losing the role. One guy who may have already lost the role, though, Gene Machi, was brought into the 6th inning yesterday and pitched a perfect inning. But they weren't saving him for the 9th. They weren't saving Tozawa for the 9th either, for what it's worth. So who the heck knows what's going on there?
They're just
going
to blow everybody out when they win.
Maybe.
Yeah. But they should anyway. That would help because those relievers are not very good.
No.
Ryan from Fort Wayne has an email. We'll read some emails and then we'll do some FanDuel. And if you haven't tried FanDuel, well, I think you should. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy baseball. They pay out more money than any other daily fantasy site. And we want you to go there right now and use our offer code CBSPOD. The offer code again is CBSPOD. Your first deposit, FanDuel's going to match it dollar for dollar up to $200. And that gets earned as you play. Now is the perfect time to start playing because you got football coming up. You got college football underway. You got baseball still in full swing. I mean, look, it's winding down for seasonal fantasy, but for daily fantasy, there's really no such thing. It's the same thing every single day. So take advantage of that. Play some meaningful fantasy baseball. Go on FanDuel and play right now. And use, again, that offer code is CBSPOD.
And now might be the time to play baseball on FanDuel because there might be tournaments that don't fill up. And if they're guaranteed prize tournaments,
yeah,
there's more money going out than coming in. It increases your odds.
Take advantage, absolutely. All right, an email from Ryan in Fort Wayne. I'm in need of wins. I could also use a little help in ERA and WHIP, as there are several of us tied in these categories, but mostly wins. So, 12-team Roto League, how do you get wins while maintaining a good ERA and WHIP? Starters with favorable matchups or high-end relievers? What do you think?
You can't count on relievers helping you in wins.
Yeah.
But you can't count on the two-star pitcher of the week off waivers helping you in ERA and WHIP. So it's kind of I don't really think there is a way. I think I would pursue the total over the ratio. I would pursue the wins over the ERA and WHIP if I was in that situation. But it also depends just how close you are to making up ground at those categories. How much are you trailing the guys ahead of you, and how many people are you trailing by a small amount?
Here is Boomstar from T-Dot. What?
Toronto?
Oh,
probably.
Okay. Sure. Dear...
The Six?
Yes.
The North?
Yeah, the Six. How'd you know that?
What? I'm hip.
I'm with it.
I know what the things the kids are talking about.
Okay.
Chris kind of looks like he's from Canada.
He does. You do? Yes. That's a good call.
That is an offensive stereotype. just because I am dressed this way.
Well, tell us how you're dressed.
I'm from Canada. What?
Tell us how you're dressed.
Like he dresses every day.
Plaid shirt. And
yeah. Plaid button-up shirt.
You look northern.
I dress like a 27-year-old young
Canada.
Professional.
Oh, okay.
Who is also the spokesman for Bounty?
Yeah, kind of. I have a beard. All right.
Actually, he looks like Al Borland.
I look like Al Borland.
Yeah.
From Tool Time.
Yeah. Is he Canadian?
I don't think so.
Let's look that up. Somebody look that up.
Because that's the character. What is the actor's name?
I don't know. He's the host.
Richard Karn.
Yeah. Where's he from?
Richard Karn is an American. He's from Seattle, so
that's pretty much Canada.
It's pretty close to Canada.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Could be from Vancouver.
Here's Boomstar's question. He says, "Dear trout, salmon, and carp." Very
trout,
good.
Trout, salmon. Okay.
They're all Los Angeles Angels players.
Was carp an angel?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't think so. They're all fish outfielders.
Yeah, I'm out of contention for the playoffs. I have to look forward to next year. 14-team head-to-head points, but roto rosters. Two catchers, middle infield, corner infield. So we need some keepers here. Rank these keepers based on who will be the best. Parentheses are the round value. Okay. So anyway, value gets more expensive by one round every year. Steals are worth 3 points.
Whoa!
And pitcher strikeouts are worth 2 points.
Whoa, that's one more of each.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Are you ready? Here we go. Miguel Cabrera in the second. Just give me your top three here. Miguel Cabrera in the second.
You keep him in the second or he was drafted in the second?
You keep him in the second.
Okay. 15 years ago?
Parentheses of the... Yeah. Round value, I'll be keeping them in. All right, Miggy in the second. Springer in the 24th.
Ding, ding.
Sano in the 19th. Buxton in the 22nd, Taiwan Walker in the 25th, and Colin McHugh in the 14th.
Sano, Springer, Cabrera. Those are the only guys that I think for sure you wouldn't be able to get back at their spots. Oh,
man, 3 points per steal makes such a big difference. I wonder how valuable Cabrera. I mean, he's probably still first round material, but obviously he doesn't steal bases. Yeah, I think I agree. The only one I wouldn't even consider probably is McHugh at 14. But
I get the hesitation with Buxton because he could steal a lot of bases.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he had 22 in 72 games, so that's a 45 steal pace. That's really good, but it's not like, it's not elite, and it's not enough to make up for the fact that he hasn't hit yet.
He hasn't hit yet, but
it's 36 strikeouts and 105 plate appearances. Like we're talking about, like it's not even like, you know, that's a Chris Davis-esque strikeout rate.
Hey,
and I know it's only 105 plate appearances.
He's not going to be like that forever.
He's a baby. He's young, but there's no guarantee he becomes the fully realized version of Byron Buxton next year.
There's not. If it was Miggy in the first, I'd probably keep Buxton instead, but Miggy in the second, we'll keep him for one more year.
Eric in Chicago says, he's in a daily 10-team categories league, and he's got a big lead over second place. So he's in first place. He just wants a shortstop that's not gonna get him upset in the playoffs. Right now he is using Francisco Lindor. Are any of these guys better options than Lindor to keep him from being upset and losing in the playoffs?
Why would you be upset with Francisco Lindor?
It's been the best since the All-Star break.
Not upset with Lindor, but get upset by a lower seeded team.
Okay.
All right. The options are Jean Segura, Cesar Hernandez, Eugenio Suarez, Javier Baez, Asdrubal Cabrera, Jed Jerko, and Corey Seager.
No.
I don't know who you'd consider safer than Lindor at this point. If you're going safe, I'm tempted by Seager. I might pick up Seager just so no one else can and upset me that way, but probably stick with Lindor.
Sean in Kingston Playoffs just started in a 12-team daily head-to-head categories league. Who should I start at second base, Rougned Odor or Anthony Rendon?
Oh.
I'm leaning in Odor, even though Rendon's picked it up lately. Hasn't really shown the power yet that Odor has. So I'll go Odor.
That's really tough. I'd probably go Odor.
Sean must be Canadian because he says, you guys are the Toronto Blue Jays offensive fantasy baseball podcast, best in the league by over 100 runs. And he spelled offense O-F-F-E-N-C-E.
Oh,
yeah.
Contextual clues.
By the way, Rougned Odor has managed an 800 OPS in each month since June. No fall off there.
Scott, you weren't on the podcast yesterday, were you?
I was not, no.
Who said hello to everyone named James? Was that Al?
Sounds like something Al would say.
Yeah. Well, we have an email from Jim in South Korea who thinks that was for him. So, hello, James. Jim. 10-team, 5x5 head-to-head playoffs or two-week matchups. Got the one seed. I should have read ahead on this one. I'm sorry. Any potential two-star pitchers over the next 2 weeks that you'd recommend picking up? Don't really know. I could take a look. Let's take a look at two-star pitchers.
Let's all
also
Google search two-star pitchers.
Jim says, what the bleep do I do with Harvey and Raisel Iglesias?
Hold. In a two-week one, can you start either one of them? I don't think you can.
No, good point.
Definitely can't start Harvey. There's no way you can start Harvey. You might get one start in those 2 weeks.
If your lineup's locked out for 2 weeks.
Raisel?
Yeah, if you can change lineup midway like we do with our playoffs.
Because All right, let's talk some two-star pitchers for... Let's just look at next week, some guys he could pick up.
Josh Tomlin.
Josh Tomlin's an option.
Do you like him?
Kevin Gausman is available. I'm not sure how widely he owned he has become at this point.
Do you like Josh Tomlin, though? Kansas City and the White Sox at home?
I don't mind those matchups, no. Neither one of those teams is... Especially the Royals, I don't think, are especially likely to hurt him in the one way that he is liable to be hurt, which is home runs.
This is a 10-team league, so let's not...
Yeah.
I know there's a big gap in ownership percentage, but like Andrew Heaney would be better than these guys, Carlos Rodon. I think those are the only two in the 80 to 90 range. Well, there's Julio Teheran, but I doubt he's...
Gausman's only 47%.
Oh, I dropped Teheran.
Yeah, those guys.
Teron's available in my 10-team league because I was just done with it. You know why? Because at this point, there aren't that many guys left, so I figure I might be able to get them back.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, let's do some FanDuel. Anybody got a lineup for today?
No, but I do have a pitcher, and it's probably not the guy you're thinking.
Oh.
Because the guy you're thinking is probably the most expensive guy. That guy being Jacob DeGrom, but Jacob DeGrom has been kind of shaky recently. I am concerned he's falling into the young pitcher with the innings accumulating and having a bumpy finish here, and I just don't know that we can trust him the same way we did early in the year. And
he pitched 200 innings last season, didn't he?
He may have. But I'm sure it was a first because he was a rookie. He's going head to head against Steven Strasburg, so it's not a great matchup. I actually like Colin McHugh today against Oakland. Aaron Brooks, the opposing pitcher, who's been awful his last two starts. Obviously, the A's have a weak lineup. And McHugh's been at his best here to close out the season. He had, in his last six starts, a 1.54 ERA, a strikeout per inning, a 1.10 whip. I'll save the $2,000 and go McHugh over DeGrom.
Which pitchers are we picking on today? Right-handed Orioles are always a good idea against Sabathia. He's really bad against righties. I don't know if you want to start Chris Davis because Sabathia actually has been good against left-handed hitters this year.
With the way Matt Latos is going, you know, maybe C.J. Crone, maybe Cole Calhoun for the Angels.
Some See, Kyle Lobstein is a lefty or a righty? Looking that up. Kyle Lobstein is a lefty, so Logan Forsythe could be a good play today. And anybody on the Rays, maybe? Forsythe is $3,300. Ben Revere is always so cheap. And he's facing Joe Kelly, which Joe Kelly's pitching well, but Ben Revere leading off for the Blue Jays at $2,700 just seems like a guy that I want to put in my lineup.
Justin Bour and Derek Dietrich for the Marlins. Ariel Pena is making his second start. I think second career start against the Marlins. So that's a good option. And
I like the Red Sox because Drew Hutchison, not only was he bad at home last start, but he's always terrible on the road. And the Red Sox are hitting really well. This is a good day for bats.
Yeah.
Xander Bogaerts has
a lot of bad pitchers.
Xander Bogaerts batting 500 against him. Let's see. Maybe Pedroia. I don't know if Pedroia is cheap, but he might be. Mookie Betts has great numbers in only 10 plate appearances.
Pedroia's 32, not super cheap.
32, okay. Yeah. Betts is 4,000. Might be worth it for that price. All right. Anything else?
This might be a day to actually not try to save that money that Scott was trying to save, just because there are so many bad pitchers that you should be able to find enough cheap hitters to justify Jacob deGrom.
Well, it wasn't so much about saving the money. I just honestly trust McHugh more than deGrom at this point and having to save money in the process.
Yeah, no, McHugh's expensive. Yeah, you know, it's what, the third most expensive pitcher, but I think it's a good call. He's pitching well, and it's a good call.
Yeah. Give me DeGrom.
Okay. Let's see. Jacoby Ellsbury is 7 for 11 with a home run off of Baldo Jimenez. I'm just going through some BVP here. And Ellsbury,
yeah,
actually,
I never have a problem with playing players against Baldo Jimenez.
Yeah, and he's cheap. Yeah, Ellsbury is 2,900, and he actually hit the ball really well last night. He went 1 for 4, but he lined out to right, and he flew out, hit the ball hard to center. So he could be coming out of it. He's a streaky guy. I don't mind that him for 2,900 there. Now, if you start your lineup with McHugh, Ben Revere, and Jacoby Ellsbury, as I'm going to do, you've got an average of $3,400. So let's let's just say you want to throw Nolan Arenado in there. You still have an average of $3,300. So, you know, that's a good way to start to give you a lot of wiggle room. Pirates against Kevis Sampson could be really good.
Starling Marte. Mention the Royals yet?
What's that? No.
It doesn't look like they're as cheap as we're used to them being, but they're going against Mike Pelfrey, so.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, a lot of hitting options, a lot of pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost.
A lot of pitchers to take advantage of tonight, and I think that's why. If you really think McHugh's just flat out better than DeGrom, fine, but I think DeGrom's the best pitcher of the night.
Yeah, you know who I like? I like the Diamondbacks. Chris Heston at Arizona doesn't sound like a good idea to me. I think he could get lit up. He's not good in parks like that. He's not good on the road. And I want to see their lineup. Like, if NC Arte's in the lineup, he's 3,000. He might be good tonight. There you go.
Couple Rays hitters against Kyle Lobstein, a left-hander, a bad left-hander. They both crush left-handers. They're both $3,300. Their names are Logan Forsythe and Evan Longoria. The latter is especially hot right now, and I think he would be a must-start for me with that matchup and the splits.
Boom.
I'm almost done with my lineup here. But
you know this never ends up well for you.
Never. It never.
Setting your lineup during the show always ends poorly.
It's not a good
idea. Adam Azer.
It's not a good idea. All right, let's go with who should we start at catcher tonight?
Don't pod and set.
I feel like Buster Posey hasn't done anything lately. Am I crazy?
Who?
Buster Posey.
You're crazy. He's been hot.
Okay, then he's in my lineup. I need a first baseman.
Goldschmidt.
Let's see if I can make that happen.
Actually.
Oh, yeah, Posey's been really hot.
Has he?
Yeah, he's raised his average 12 points in the
last 10
days. I don't
own him in one league. All right, then I need a throwaway second baseman for 2,300. Jimmy Paredes. Now, he's a lefty, right?
Yeah.
Who's pitching for the Marlins?
Tom Kohler.
Scooter Jeanette.
There you go.
That's terrible. Ugh, I got to do better than that. McHugh, Posey, Goldschmidt, Jeanette, Arenado. Look at that infield. Posey, Jeanette, Posey, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Jung Ho Kang, and then we got Revere, Ellsbury, and Ender Inciarte. All right, no, it's not good enough, but it's close. It's close. We're working
That's
on it.
Bad.
Keep tweaking it. Keep working at it.
Yeah, no, it's not that bad.
Joe Panic's 2400 if you can find another $100 somewhere Zach Godley.
All right, I'll try.
Zach Godley.
I'll try. That's a good point. All right, Panic, we're going to have to get in there. I need an extra $100 somewhere. Thank you guys for your help here. Go to FanDuel.com. Start playing right now. Chris Tower, Scott White. See you later.
Bye.